Well, a few more haunted objects to go through with Rosemary Ellen Guiley and John Zaffis, and then we'll take your calls and stories here this hour on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with Rosemary Ellen Guiley and John Zaffis. And before we take calls and the board is filling up, a couple more of these objects I wanted to get some explanations on. What's the squishy faces? What is that?
Go ahead, Ro.
Well, John actually told the story of the squishy faces with the bookends.
Ah, okay.
Creepy faces, and they were handmade, too, and they looked like faces that had melted in the sun. Why anyone would want to put them in their home, it just kind of boggles the imagination.
Well, now, were these the wedding gifts?
They were a gift to the husband from the girlfriend who got left behind.
Okay.
And when he and his new wife are moving into their gorgeous new home and he's unpacking, he finds it. Oh, yeah, I forgot about those. But they're ugly.
Get rid of them.
He doesn't want to get rid of them because, well, you know.
He still liked the girl.
He should keep them, you know. And, squishy faces. They act it out.
All right, Mr. Sinister finds a new home. What's that all about? Some kind of flea market?
John, you want to take that one?
No, go ahead, Ro.
Mr. Sinister, that was the name that John thought was appropriate for this statue because it does look very sinister. And involved a man who liked to go to flea markets. That was one of his favorite pastimes. So he's browsing around the flea markets. And at the very last minute, he finds this weird-looking statue. It's a carved man and kind of weirdly dressed. And, again, this, like, it's kind of weird and ugly, but it's quirky-looking, and I like quirky things, so I think I'm going to get it. And he bargains it down to a cheap price. And when he picks it up to take it home, he gets zapped, like he got an electrical shock. And he just passes it off. He thinks, oh, well, you know, it's kind of thunderstormy out, and, you know, maybe there's weird atmosphere going on. Takes it home, and he puts it in his house by the sliding glass door. And it has kind of a leer on it. It starts to look pretty strange to him every time he looks at it. When he wakes up in the morning, the house is filled with a horrible smell. It's like food rotting or a dead animal or something, but he can't find a source, and it's really bad. And the smell doesn't go away. It keeps getting worse. Well, he decides to move the statue to the outside. He gets zinged every time he goes near the statue, and he's not associating the smell with the statue, but he doesn't like this creepy feeling around Mr. Sinister, and then he gets this electrical shock every time he's around it. So he puts it outside, and the bad smell goes away, and the whole atmosphere clears. So after it's all clear, then he thinks, oh, well, don't know quite what happened there, but I'm going to bring it back in. He brings it back in. The same thing starts again. And so it's at this point when people realize that they have a bad problem, and they pick up the phone and call John.
And John is always there. Do you have to physically to be there, John?
I to me, it's important, George, because I always like to dig in and see exactly what is going on. Now, there are a lot of investigations that I do get involved with that are, you know, basically done over the telephone or via email, and we try to get things resolved to see what could be done, what could be handled. And again, like I said, most people, as I'm going back and forth with them, talking to them, a lot of them will just make a decision, you know, once they feel that it could be that particular thing they brought in, that they just want it removed. And long and behold, I'll end up finding several different boxes from the mailman on my front porch.
What advice, John, would you give to people who have haunted possessions? What did they do with them?
Well, again, being very guarded, very cautious, I realize, you know, when you have family heirlooms and things, you know, who wants to part with those? Nobody. So I would definitely recommend, if you can, if you're you know, involved with spiritual people, you know, your minister, your priest, or a shaman, no matter whom it is, if you can have them definitely do some prayers over or a binding over it, put it in a safe deposit box or put it in a room where it's not very active with people going in and out of. Again, I recommend very strongly to people that it's not a very good idea to collect haunted items, bring some of these things into your home, because eventually, you know, you're going to end up with some legitimate haunted items, and it's going to wreak havoc. You know, a lot of times I get calls from people, gee, John, I've been collecting, you know, and I have all these things, and now I got this activity, and then it's just like, well, gee, what do you want me to do? You know,
yeah.
It's a difficult thing. You know, with that, and I recommend, you know, just don't keep those things in your home.
Okay, to the phones now we go, east of the Rockies. Joe is in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Okay, we're well. Thank you.
All right. And Rosemary and John? Yeah, Rosemary, I can relate to what you were saying about how some people are attracted to quirky things, because that's me. I mean, I love antique shops. And I was a big fan of that TV series, Friday the 13th, where,
oh, yes,
you know, the owners of the antique shop had to get back all these antique items that were either possessed or hexed. And I really got a kick out of that show. But anyway.
Well, you know, John is like Friday the 13th. He's a walking Friday the 13th.
And I noticed how you were talking about, like, items that can be attached with spirits, like, for instance, jewelry or even dolls. I just wanted to mention that this is a rather popular item on eBay. And I've noticed where a number of, I purchased a number of these things myself. For instance, like some vintage porcelain dolls. I had one doll that was supposedly supposed to work for I had a loss for words.
And how much did you have to pay for it? Joe?
It was a revenge doll. That's what it was. And another doll I had where it was possessed with the spirit of a little girl. And then a third doll was dressed like a Victorian-style bride in a bride's dress. And this doll or this spirit had supposedly committed suicide as a bride on her wedding night. And what was kind of strange about this doll, you know, nothing really supernatural happened with any of them. But the first night I owned this doll, I had it propped up on the top of my couch. And, you know, I'm going to sleep. And when I woke up that morning, she was cradled in my arms.
How much did you have to give for the dolls, Joe?
I would say like maybe in the neighborhood, $40-$50. And I think the revenge doll went for like $75.
Wow.
It depends on who's bidding, you know, with eBay and everything, unless they have it at a set price.
That's a good
point.
But
these items are rather popular.
John Zaffis, why is there a craze? Thank you, Joe, for your call. Why is it a craze for people to buy these kinds of objects?
Because it's something solid. It's something physical that people can relate to. They could see it right there. So, again, it like he was just saying, it's such a popular thing today. You know, you go right on eBay, they have a tremendous amount of haunted items that they're offering. And people purchase them. They want to really see, are they haunted? And then they bring them in, and a lot of people start having experiences. I could say I probably have a good 25 to 30 dolls that are from eBay that people picked up and went, they were just curious to see if they were haunted, so they bought them, brought them in, and they started having activity, and then they want them back out.
What's new in the world of the jinn, Rosemary?
The jinn are involved in a lot of our paranormal experiences. They can attach to objects. They can attach to people. they're attached to locations. I'm continuing my research on the djinn and their involvement in various scenarios like mysterious creatures, ET abductions. I find their presence a lot. I don't think they account for everything out there, but they are masterful shapeshifters and disguisers, and they will often take on the appearance of something else to further hide their own involvement and make us think that they're a fairy or a demon or some other kind of spirit, so that they can get a better attachment to a place or a person. They're involved in chaos and turmoil. I think that they've played roles in a lot of the global events that we see, where there are uprisings and terrorist attacks, wars. They're almost like a supernatural arms merchant. They feed off the energy of chaos and bloodshed, a lot of them, not all of them, because they're not all bad, just like all humans aren't bad. But they can feed off that energy, and so from their perspective, it doesn't matter which side wins as long as there's energy being shed in the process.
Okay, let's now go to Howard in Apple Valley, California. Howard, you're on with Rosemary and John. Go ahead.
Great. Hi, George. Thanks a lot. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Sure thing.
I wanted to talk about a couple of objects I brought back from Sierra Leone with me.
And all right, I'm going to need you to get closer to your phone, okay?
Can you hear me better now?
There you go.
Yeah, well, I brought some objects back from Sierra Leone with me. I was there for about a year, so I had time to pick up some different things. And one of them was a wooden head symbol. It was the priestess of the ceremony used, the ceremony that, you know, female genital mutilation that's popular in a lot of Western Africa. And initially when it was brought to me, I really didn't want it, but I decided to get it and bring it back and eliminate it in a ceremonial fire. I took it with me to Burning Man the year that the theme was rites of passage, and I thought it might be a good gesture to burn that wooden head in the fire of the temple. And I went ahead and did that. I cast my best intentions, put a aura of light around me, and walked up to the embers of the temple and cast this wooden head into the embers. And it was a hot fire, but I didn't expect it to burn so rapidly. Once the head hit the ground, it just burst into flames, and this big wave of heat that, you know, it was already a lot of heat where I was standing, but this big noticeable wave of heat came and hit me and passed. And that was, you know, the ceremony of burning that head. And another object I brought with me was identified by someone similar in spirit to you guys. I mean, up to this instance, I identified him as just a acupuncturist, but he basically just walked in, and I just gifted a stone head, another stone head, to a friend of mine. And he was just coming by, walked in, and like, oh, did you guys go shopping? Is there anything new in the house? And he was just able to scan with his hand and identify the stone, and he told me if I brought any other objects, not to bring them in the house and to keep them wrapped up. And basically that's what I did with the wooden head until I was ready to take it to the fire.
These stories, John Zaffis, are probably pretty prevalent, aren't they?
Very common, George, where, you know, people will pick up things, you know, very innocently, because the last thing you're thinking about is any type of energy that could be associated with these things. And once we, again, once we bring them into the home environment, and they're basically like activated with the energy of us and its surroundings. So therefore, you know, most spiritual people will tell you to be very guarded and very careful with bringing any of these types of items in. And again, I've dealt with it right across the board, whether, you know, dealing with Buddhists, shamans, medicine men, priests, rabbis, they all say the same thing. And they will, you know, definitely make recommendations to people to be very careful with bringing these things in, because they realize, and a lot of them deal with these items where they could wreak havoc on people.
What about objects such as crucifixes and rosaries and things like that? They would guess, would never get attached, would they?
Absolutely, George. Unfortunately, it's a very sad thing. I have many religious items that have been used on a negative level.
Really?
Oh, very. It's very common because it's a very innocent thing for people to be able to get energy to attach to them. I have Bibles, rosary beads, statues. It's amazing the things that people will do, because that is basically created on a positive level. So if they can use it on a negative level and get things attached to it and gift it to people, who would least expect a religious item to have anything on a negative level with it whatsoever? Those are the most difficult situations.
Sure is. Mark, first-time caller in Hickory, North Carolina. Hi, Mark. Thanks.
Hey, nice to speak with you, Mr. Norrie. I've listened to you quite often. It's an honor.
Well, thank
you. Mr. Zaffis, I remember, you may not remember, but I remember taking you back to an airport after a convention in Hickory about 4 years ago, and it's good to hear you. And I've seen your show a couple of times, and I enjoy it. I'll make this kind of short and take my answer off the phone, but I was wondering if with Mr. Lutz and the Amityville, could there have possibly been something that was in the home that, because the spirit supposedly had followed him to, and the family around the country, was there possibly something that could have been haunted item there that could have caused that to, for them to have their issues?
Well, here again, it's a very, there's one thing that's happening right now with the Amityville case. The two sons are speaking quite openly in regards to a lot of the different things that George was involved with. We definitely know that any type of environment where you have mass murders like that, that's going to be a very negative energy. When they purchased the house, they purchased it with all of the items. There was a tremendous amount left behind mm-hmm. from the family. So therefore, you know, with the charge of them moving in with the children, I feel a lot of things got activated in that home. And there was a lot of things that, you know, occurred, you know, on a paranormal level. Again, a supercharged environment like that, a lot of the things remained. I think they're definitely could have been something attributing to the environment of the haunting in that home.
It is still remains one of the most incredible stories, doesn't it, John?
Absolutely. And again, it's great that Daniel and Christopher are talking more. They've been very vocal on, you know, some of the other things that occurred in the home that you know, George was definitely very interested in different types of occult things, and now they're bringing it to the forefront, and, you know, it's verifying and solidifying, if you will, some of the things that occurred that, you know, transpired. Because, again, one of the most scrutinized cases, I mean, the books and the movies really, really didn't stick on track, but as far as I'm concerned, there was definitely a haunting that transpired in that home.
We're going to come back and take final phone calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, open lines here on Coast to Coast AM, and it's also time for our shout-out to those of you listening to Coast on our way more now than 570 radio stations across North America. Thank you so much. Coast Insiders and XM Talk Channel 102. And then the various chat rooms that are out there, Into Infinity, hello there, Fantastic Forum 2, Imaginative World, Sorcery IRC. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can do that easily enough by going to coasttocoastam.com. The Yahoo Chat, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, those Hollywood Ghost Hunters, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, and John and Rosemary, I'm going to read an email from Kathy in St. Charles, Michigan. It says, George, when my daughter was barely 2 years old, She was given a small new stuffed monkey dressed like a clown by one of her favorite aunts. I thought it was cute. I'd give it to her at night and found that she had tossed it out of her bed by the morning. One day, I laid her down for her nap and put the monkey clown in with her. She began to whimper and said, "No monkey clown, Mama. No monkey clown." I immediately took it and packed it away. 5 years later, she had a 2-year-old little brother. He loves stuffed animals, too, so I brought out the monkey clown. His sister didn't see me do this, but he immediately started whimpering and said, "No monkey clown, Mama. No monkey clown." I threw it out. Perhaps I should have sent it to your guests. John, what the heck was going on there?
Well, here again, too, some negative energy could be attached to it. Could have been something deliberate. We hear this time and time again where children, because children are very sensitive, and they could be around certain objects, they could be around certain things, and children react to it. You know, what's one thing that's fantastic today, George, due to the amount of people recognizing and understanding that these things do occur, they realize and they don't take the chance. And especially in the environment with children, if something is affecting them, they see what's happening with the children, they remove the item immediately, and that's a good thing.
Let's go to the phones again now. Kevin in Boston, Massachusetts. Kevin, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good.
Groovy. Okay, so I got a really creepy...
Share it.
Haunted doll story for you. About 15 years ago, I went to Galveston, and I wanted to call up on the Galveston show when you had the Ghost of Galveston. But unfortunately, I didn't get through, but I'm glad I got through tonight. So Basically, middle of the night, I walk downstairs, grab a drink of water. It's pitch black. Out of nowhere, I hear, "Peekaboo." And I'm like, "What's that?" So I turn on the lights. Something's around. So I'm walking around again, moseying, looking around. And I hear it again, "Peekaboo." And it ended up being a stuffed animal that was Big Bird. And I'm never going to be able to look at Big Bird again the same way in my entire life.
Now, did it have some kind of little voice in it? You know how those dolls have these talking voices?
It did. It was a motion. It ended up being a motion sensor where if you walk past it, it would speak. Like if you cover its eyes and you move your hand, it would say peekaboo. And if you heard that in the middle of the night when you're a young kid,
you're out of there.
And I'm never going to look at dolls or anything like that the same way. They freak me out.
Well, I don't blame you. John and Rosemary, do you remember the Twilight Zone episode, Talkie Tina?
That was one of my favorite. I don't like you. My name is Talkie Tina, and I don't like you.
I'm going to kill you, right? She said that at the end, too. Scary. I bought that doll for one of my granddaughters when she was little. And she claims that the doll would turn around, and so she'd get out of bed and turn it back the other way. So she'd be looking at the head of the doll, and in the morning it would be facing her again. And that would just freak her out, and she just didn't want anything to do with it after that.
Our freakiest stories concern dolls and movements. And that people hear their voices in their heads. They hear them talking. Dolls make wonderful haunted objects because they're like people. They can. It's easy for spirits to animate them.
Sure is. Next up, we go to Sam in Hemet, California. He's been waiting quite a while too. Go ahead, Sam.
Howdy, Mr. Norrie.
Hello, Sam.
I have, as your screener had told me earlier, probably the most interesting of any question you've had yet. Have these things, these, I don't know, demons or bad spirits, whatever you want to call them, have they ever tag-teamed with each other to go against your guests?
In what way?
Have they combined, well, let's say, for instance, that Sinister doll and the five evil clowns, have all of them combined whatever their powers and abilities were to try and lash out and attack your guests.
All right, John, I guess that's something for you, in that I would guess if you had these objects in your possession, have they come at you in mass?
As a collective, I would say, you know, those things do occur. So what I mean by a collective is that when you have different energies, you know, when I'm working on several investigations dealing with items, I would say activity is very much increased. I've seen that several different times. So again, I would say yes to the question where, you know, I'm working on them. We're working on getting things resolved to get the bindings and the prayers and things done on them. I've noticed, you know, increase with different things occurring at that point in time when working on several cases with items.
I tell you what, after this interview with both of you, it's going to make me think twice about objects, that's for sure, and where you pick them up. You know, and you know, you look at something that looks like a nice antique and it's old and different and strange. Gosh, you don't know what you're bringing home, do you?
Most of the time, people are not going to have a problem, but it happens often enough that people need to have an awareness. And in the book, we include some advice for how to shop wisely, especially for secondhand objects.
Is it a slam dunk, Rosemary, that if you buy something that looks strange, a gargoyle, a devil statue or something, you're going to bring something home?
Not necessarily. I have gargoyles, for example. Gargoyles are protective statuary. They're designed to keep the bad spirits out. So if something has a creepy look, or a dragon, for example, it's not automatically going to have an attachment to it. And like we've said earlier this evening, innocent objects sometimes prove to be the deadliest if the wrong spirit is attached to them. So people have to pay attention to energy fields, to their own gut instincts, and what their body and their intuition are telling them about whether an object is good or bad. And that's often the level that people are going to react to. They have a good feeling about it, they have a bad feeling about it. And people will override the bad feelings time and time again because they have convinced themselves that the object is desirable for other reasons.
Let's go to Wichita, Kansas. Jedediah is with us. Hey, good morning, Jedediah.
Good morning, George. I just want to say it's the first time I called, and I enjoy your show quite a bit.
Thank you so much.
It does freak me out a bit, though.
Oh, yes.
Sometimes.
Me too.
I just wanted to say this happened to a friend of mine. She was teaching English in Turkey, and I went over to visit her, and we traveled the region. We went from Turkey over to Jordan and back. And while we were in Jordan, we stopped at this, like, they have a lot of shops that are over there, a lot of local people just trying to sell things that they, you know, they have or they see or they pick up or whatnot. And a lot of them are in small little caves and stuff like that, just dotting the countryside. And we stopped, the taxi driver that we were riding with stopped, said, hey, let's go in the shop. I know these people. We'll hang out for a little bit. So we go in there, we have some tea and everything, and then this guy, one of the shop owners there, my friend, female, walks up and was like, here, have some earrings. And they were nice looking earrings and that. And then probably about 15, 20 minutes later, he's like, you know, here, have this necklace too. And so he goes, has the necklace. And, you know, we travel around with it for about a week or two and we get back and, I go back to the States. She goes to Egypt and goes to a few other places. Mm-hmm. Well, a couple months later, we're sitting around talking and that, and there's something that possessed the necklace. It was she started feeling ill and started having some, you know, just her health just started to take a fall. And she's telling her mom about it. And her mom was at the gym telling one of her friends, she's like, well, I know this lady that will come and, cleanse your room, cleanse your apartment, you know, and just trying to locate this object that's making you sick. So she's in the apartment, and when she walks in the apartment, she walks right into my friend's bedroom and goes straight for the necklace and just picks it up. and says, you know, this is what's wrong with it. Well, they did a cleansing ceremony and everything. Well, before she found out, she went to the doctor, and when she wasn't feeling good, she had an X-ray, and she started developing some cyst on her left ovary and that. And, you know, she was a little concerned in that. And, well, the lady came in and did a cleansing and everything, said, hey, you know, you got a, there's a succubus that's attached to this necklace and that. They went, she took the necklace. They did a cleansing on her, whatnot. And about two to three weeks later, her health started picking back up again. And then she went back to the doctor, and the cysts were gone off of, were completely gone. She was, you know, she had her health back, and she was doing pretty well.
What would you call that, Rosemary? What kind of a healing process?
This sounds like a spirit who was able to migrate from the object literally to the person. And it's good that she got attention fairly early, because her health could have deteriorated quite a bit more than that. There are, I don't know if this was indeed a succubus. A succubus is a spirit who masquerades as a female form for sexual gratification. That could be the connection with the ovary, but usually a succubus wouldn't be attacking a woman. But nonetheless, it was a predatory kind of entity that was feeding off her life force. That's what these spirits do. They get energy from people. They'll get it from you emotionally. If they cause fear, they will wreck your health, because they can take the life force from your emotions and your physical vitality. And some people can get drained very quickly, and for some people, it's a very slow leaching kind of effect.
That's amazing the way that this just all seems to happen. Is there, and what is the force, John Zappas, behind this that makes this happen?
Again, with this, a lot of times, just from what he was describing, you know, that would have threw up a big flag with me that, oh, here, take this jewelry, take this, you know, take that. That when those types of things occur and they happen, that throws up my guard very highly. Because is there a reason this person is handing off this jewelry and they're just giving it because they just want it out of the area because they already know there's issues with it? Or was the intent and purpose deliberate, sending some type of negative energy with it? Again, to, you know, just a to gain control of individual, to gain, you know, that recognition that, you know, these things can indeed work and influence situations. So I'm very always guarded with these types of things when, you know, people just start giving things and just meeting them or just knowing them for a very first time. It's kind of scary.
Sure is. Let's go to Chris in Utah. Welcome to the program, Chris. You're up with us.
Thank you, Rosemary and John and George. I'm just sitting here just bewildered. You wouldn't believe, if you could appear here in my trailer, you would not believe what I've got in my trailer. I've got every kind of known bronze object, Indian mask, you name it. I've got it all in here. And anyway, it's I know what you're talking about, because it's really getting on me. It's quite something. But anyway, I'll just relate two quick things. Back in the early 60s, we can't explain how this happened, but there's even pictures of it. There, you know, somehow I obtained a devil doll when I was a little kid, and we don't know who gave it to me or where it come from, but ever since then, I just had nothing but trouble my whole life. But anyway, this thing was, I don't know, it's probably 10 inches tall, maybe 12 inches tall, and it was, you know, kind of bunched up, but it's... I can't even believe my parents would even have this thing around or let me have it. But I remember how attached I was to it. I wouldn't go to bed without it. But in the pictures of me holding this doll, its eyes are shiny and glaring in the pictures. That's what's bizarre about it. And then later, are you there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I just the phone made a weird noise. Anyway, and then later, this doll come up missing and disappeared, and nobody knows where it went, who gave it to me, or whatever. And it's just in the house, in the same room where this was. Later, my sister was playing with an eight ball. It was a battery-operated eight ball. You'd ask it a question, and then it would appear the answer would appear in light up in blue on this eight ball. And in that same room where I was when that doll, when I was a kid, was with me, I don't know, what happened yet. One day that ball, we were downstairs eating, and that eight ball come rolling down the stairs on its own. We went up there and we searched the room. There was nothing in there, and we attribute it to the same source or whatever that where that doll come from. And anyway, my brothers, sisters, all my relatives are disturbed over that thing because we can't figure out how I obtained it, why I had it, why. What happened to it, but that's probably to explain why I'm having all this luck now. But I've got wall-to-wall bronzes and antiques and Indian deals, and that's everything you guys are saying is exactly the way it is, because I can go on, you could talk until daybreak, but the bad things that's happened and stuff to me, but that's one of the strangest things I've ever had, and we can't still, but there's picture proof of this devil doll, and nobody knows anything about it or what, and it's just disturbing, especially to my parents, how this thing, come and went and whatever. But that eight ball doing that thing down the stairs coming into the room, we destroyed it in a hurry, and we're not going to put up with that. But it's, I've now just listened to your show. I've now had a second opinion about all this stuff I collect, because there is some strange phenomenons going on in this trailer.
Do you want to get rid of the stuff? What do you think?
Well, yeah. How do I get rid of it? That's my question. What do I do with this? It's wall to wall. I mean, you can't even believe. There's not a trailer like this in the United States that's this loaded with this kind of antique.
What's he do, John?
Well, first off, it might not necessarily be anything that you collected that you have there right at this point in time. I'm more intrigued by the story of the devil doll. I mean, that could be something that is tying in that could have possibly been affecting you all these years. What I would definitely recommend, sir, is if you're able to, please send me an email at johnzappas.com, and I would like to talk to you a little bit further. But, again, I don't necessarily feel that, all collectibles and things that, we all collect over the years could possibly be causing the problems. There might be something else that's tied in with that.
All right, John and Rosemary, thank you both for being on the program tonight, and good luck with your work, Haunted by the Things You Love. Up next, Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM.